Okay. First things first. Two books. Jesus wasn't talking to you, and things that have been taught from the Bible that are not true. We are still giving these away. If you would send us your snail mail address, we will send these, either one of these or both, depending on how many you want, it doesn't matter. So, if you email us at info@ohiogracebible.com, nailed that one, we will send you these books free of charge. But we need your physical address to do that. So, since we got that out of the way, we have already opened in prayer earlier, so I'm just going to go ahead and get started. If you would like to turn to Romans 15:4, we can get started there. Now, we will start in Romans 15:4 for your reference, but we are going to be turning back to the Old Testament. Surprise, surprise. Rightly dividing grace believers do study the Old Testament. If you did not know that, it is true. It's fact. Surprise, surprise. Romans 15:4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. We will get a good idea of what our hope is today. Now, I was reminded by a fellow brother in the Lord that, just so you all are aware, there is no pretense about me picking this particular message. This is just a memory that I have of a man as a young man, and just his entertaining way that he brought about things. The messages that he brought were basically all the Old Testament. I grew up in a Christian school, and every single day we had a Bible study. There were a few different teachers, actually I think exactly three, that split up that time every single day right after lunchtime, after we all got wound up and we came back in and they tried to sit us down and teach us from God's Word. Didn't always work out the way we wanted. I got in trouble quite a bit. Everybody's surprised. Everybody's jaw dropped open. It's okay. But our favorite as young men was this particular guy because he was very, very animated, I guess is a good way to put it. And he knew how to connect with young men. He was, I would consider him a man's man. He worked on cars. He worked on the school. He was just an all-around, he's an all-around just general well-rounded guy. Kind of like a jack-of-all-trades type guy. But there were many, including Absalom was the one that I remember, but this one in particular, just the way he was, he talked about stories, he brought them to life. And this is the one that I remember. He said that he read from the Bible and the earth claved open and fire came out. And this is the only reason why I just remember that from the time I was 15 years old till now, which is many years later. So we are going to go to the Old Testament for our learning and for comfort and hope. So let me, okay, let's go to Numbers. Numbers 16. As I said earlier this morning, for those of you that are hearing this for the first time, good for you. For those of you that are hearing it the second time, I apologize. Good for you too. I forgot to hit it. You get to hear it again. I forgot to hit record last week, and so some of the folks here today are getting to hear it for the second time. And yeah, thank you, Clarence. I've always liked you, Clarence. All right, number 16. We're going to start in verse 1. Number 16. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan, and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men. And they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and said unto them, "Ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then ye lift up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord?" These are God's men. Moses and Aaron, right? You got other folks coming up to him and saying, "You take too much upon yourselves. What about us? Everybody's holy here. Where's our status? Where's our things that, you know, people will look up to us? We're all holy here." And when Moses heard it, he fell upon his face. See the two dynamics there? You have pride and you have humility. And he, Moses, spake unto Korah unto all his company, saying, "Even tomorrow the Lord will show who are his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near unto him. Even him who he hath chosen will he cause to come near unto him." Very interesting dynamic. Two different viewpoints there. "This do. Take you censers, Korah, and all his company, and put fire therein, and put incense in them before the Lord tomorrow. And it shall be that the man whom the Lord doth choose, he shall be holy. Ye take too much upon you, ye sons of Levi." Interesting. "And Moses said unto Korah, Hear, I pray you, ye sons of Levi, seemeth it but a small thing unto you that the God of Israel hath separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself, to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord, and to stand before the congregation to minister unto them. And he hath brought thee near to him, and all thy brethren, the sons of Levi, with thee, and seek ye the priesthood also?" Now you can go back and do your own study about what the Levites and their job requirements were. We're not going to get into that today. Okay. Verse 11. "For which cause both thou and all thy company are gathered together against the Lord, and what is Aaron that ye murmur against him? And Moses sent to call Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, which said, We will not come up. Is it a small thing that thou hast brought us up out of the land that floweth with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness, except thou make thyself altogether a prince over us?" Again, two different contrasting views. "Moreover, thou hast not brought us into the land that floweth with milk and honey, or given us inheritance of fields and vineyards. Would thou put out the eyes of these men? We will not come up." Where's our things? Where's our inheritance? Where's our land of milk and honey? You going to put out our eyes now because we're talking against you? Now here's where Moses changes his attitude. "And Moses was very wroth." Now, the last time I talked about this, which was last Sunday when I forgot to hit record, I spoke about when I see wroth, I see my wife being very upset with me. Rarely happens.
When you're asleep.
But rarely.
What's that? To your left or the lightning bolt.
Yeah. So what makes my wife wroth is when I bring home another trailer load of wood on a day that we have a gathering at our house and I still have tasks to be completed. that's when she gets wroth. I've seen that fire. It's pretty scary. I try not to do it anymore when we have things going on that day. But it's a little less, right? But okay, getting back to the story. 15, and Moses was very wroth and said unto the Lord, respect not thou their offering. I have not taken one ass from them, neither have I hurt one of them. Moses is changing his tune. Respect not their offering. Now that's a heavy statement, considering that they had to have an offering. You can go back and do the study on your own. And Moses said unto Korah, be thou and all thy company before the Lord, thou and they and Aaron tomorrow. And take every man in his censer and put incense in them, and bring ye before the Lord every man and his censer, 250 censers, thou also and Aaron, each of you his censer. Be there. I won't say it again. Now, that's a little ad lib there. It's not in the verses. But you can see his change in attitude. Verse 18. And they took every man his censer, and put fire in them, and laid incense thereon, and stood in the door of the tabernacle of the congregation with Moses and Aaron. And Korah gathered all the congregation against them unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the congregation. That's a heavy statement as well. Now, what did the glory of the Lord look like over the tabernacle, Mike?
Fire.
Or a cloud. I've never seen a fire cloud over top of this building. Now, that'd be really cool to see. It'd be really scary, though.
Bring it to your knees.
It'd bring it to your knees. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. And they fell upon their faces and said, O God, the God of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin, and wilt thou be wroth with the whole congregation? And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the congregation, saying, get you up from about the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And Moses rose up and went unto Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. And he spake unto the congregation, saying, depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest ye be consumed in all their sins. So they got up from the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, and on every side. Get out. Move. Doesn't matter which direction you go, you better get moving. And Dathan and Abiram came out and stood in their door of their tents, and their wives and their sons and their little children. This is where it gets pretty heavy. And Moses said, hereby ye shall know that the Lord has sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of my own mind. This was not my idea. You will know that this is the Lord God. Verse 29, if these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me. He's making a point back to the original conversation. But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth and swallow them up, with all that appertain unto them, and they go down quick into the pit. Then ye shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord. Verse 31. And it came to pass, as he hath made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them. It's like one of those, what do you call those? It could be a sinkhole, could be, I mean, quicksand, whatever you want to call it. But it clave, it split open. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them, and their houses, and all that appertained unto Korah, and all their goods. They and all that appertained to them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed up upon them, and they perished from the congregation. Can you imagine watching that after you just got out of there? My kids talk about, obviously they play games, they play on their phones, they play on screens. It's just what happens in life right now. We didn't have those things. We had to go outside and play. But when they talk about playing in real life, they're talking about playing these games. We're going to go play in real life. What other way is there? I mean, but that's how they talk. We're going to go play whatever game in real life now, Dad. Okay. This happened in real life. The earth clave open, consumed them, and closed back up in a moment. Verse 34, and all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them. It was so loud and so terrifying just at the screams and the cries of the people that got swallowed by the earth. They got out of there. They were afraid it was going to happen to them too. They just got out of that place. They just watched this happen, and they're continuing to run. And there came out fire from the Lord and consumed the 250 men that offered incense. And the Lord spake unto Moses. Here's the second part of this story. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, that he take up the censers out of the burning, and scatter thou the fire yonder, for they are hallowed. The censers of these sinners against their own souls, let them make them broad plates for a covering of the altar, for they offered them before the Lord, therefore are they hallowed, and they shall be a sign unto the children of Israel. I want you to make a reminder of what happens to wicked men and put them on the altar. That way they can remember. I'm giving them a visual reminder. So take the censers, melt them down, make them broad plates, put them on the altar. That way they don't forget what happens when you sin against God. And Eleazar the priest took the brazen censers wherewith they that were burned had offered, and they were made broad plates for a covering of the altar, to be a memorial unto the children of Israel, that no stranger which is not of the seed of Aaron come near to offer incense before the Lord, that he be not as Korah and his company, as the Lord said to him by the hand of Moses. Verse 41. Talk about people who forget quickly. But on the morrow, all of the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. Goodness. Already? You just watched the earth split open and swallow all those people and all those things that were down in that congregation in those tents. and you're going to murmur again? You ran away at the cry of those folks that got swallowed up in the earth, and you're going to do it again. Verse 41, the next morning, here we go again. The congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, "He has killed the people of the Lord." And it came to pass when the congregation was gathered against Moses and against Aaron, that they looked toward the tabernacle of the congregation, and behold, the cloud covered it. Are you kidding me? And the glory of the Lord appeared. Here's a saying of the great theologian Forrest Gump. Stupid is, stupid does. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, "Get you up from among the congregation, that I may consume them as in a moment." And they fell upon their faces. And Moses said to Aaron, "Take a censer and put fire there, and from off the altar, and put on incense, and go quickly unto the congregation, and make an atonement for them, for there is wrath gone out from the Lord, and the plague is begun." Move, Aaron. Move. And Aaron took as Moses commanded and ran into the midst of the congregation, and behold, the plague was begun among the people, and he put on incense and made an atonement for the people. And he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. This is how fast God's judgment works. And they that died in the plague were 14,700 in a moment. This is beside them that died about the matter of Korah. That doesn't even include them. That's God's judgment. That's God's wrath. That's how jealous our God is. Done. And Aaron returned unto Moses unto the door of the tabernacle and of the congregation. The plague was stayed. After hearing that story, what it does is it gives us hope. And it helps us understand how good we have it. But it also gives insight to the wrath and judgment and the jealousy that God keeps to himself. He is a righteous God. Amen. There's another teacher that we had in that Bible study. I mentioned there was three. And he was very quiet. He wasn't quite as animated. And all three of these guys, after looking back on just the constant jerks that they had to deal with, and I was among those jerks, teenage boys that they probably wanted to wring their neck every single day. And they had multiple of them in the Bible study. This other guy loved to talk about Paul and the doctrine and he loved Paul, and I never could understand it. Man, this Paul's boring. Give me the entertaining stories. Let me hear about the earth splitting open and click. Swallowing people whole and alive and screaming. Ah! That's what I wanted, that entertainment. I wanted, you know, I said, yeah, give me that. Let me talk about Absalom, where he's riding a horse, getting his hair flowing up, getting caught in a tree. Ah! That's what I enjoyed. I don't want to talk about Paul. Come on. The doctrine. I realized today that both men were doing their best to connect with young men. One was giving us entertainment And times we needed that. At other times we needed... The one guy was trying to give us the meat. He was trying to give us the doctrine that we could use later on in life. I see that now. Both... Now, don't get me wrong. The guy that I spoke about, the Old Testament stories, he would try to give us the meat as well. I think he... He realized he was dealing with children, not only spiritually, but also as young men. Let's just say we were less excited about the Bible study when the second guy walked in. And we're like, here we go, monotone Paul. Paul, Paul, Paul. But let's look at the difference between those two, the contrast. Let's look at some contrast. So Ephesians 2, we're going to do a little Bible drills here. Ephesians 2. We're going to run through these pretty quick. I might not wait on you, but Ephesians 2, verse 1 through 9. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. And hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Flip over a page to Ephesians 4, verse 17. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth not walk as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye have put on the new man, which is after God, is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be hungry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now, I'm giving you these references just to see a little bit of contrast of what we read back in the Old Testament. Colossians 1, verse 9. Colossians 1, 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with all the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Moving back to the, let's go one page over, Colossians 3, verse 5. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of this disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. One more reference. Colossians 4:2. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. With all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. The same God that judged these people in Numbers 16 is the same God that offers grace and peace today. That offer of grace and peace will not always be around. That is why we can be so thankful for Ephesians 6:12. Let's look at that real quick. Ephesians 6:12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." If you go back and look at the Jews' laws, you can see that there were consequences if they did not follow those laws. They wrestled with flesh and blood. Cursings if you didn't follow all these laws. If you did, you got blessings. There are those who say that we practice what's called greasy grace. The truth is, we are all spoiled by grace and peace. We all murmur daily. The difference between those folks that murmured after just watching all of those people get sucked down into the earth and swallowed and burn up by fire, as we get offered grace and peace. We are not consumed in a moment.
Amen.
If you're not thankful for that fact, there's something wrong with what you're looking at. I'm not talking about silly stuff like my car broke down. I can't get my pool water clean. It's got too much algae in it. It's cloudy. I can't get the chemicals right. What are you doing to me, Lord? These are the things we deal with. Now, I'm not saying it's not difficult, because there are things that happen in this world that are not easy to deal with. And we're seeing a lot of those things today. The fact is, God is still offering grace and peace to each and every one of us and each and every one of these sinners that are out here on a daily basis, and He's not consuming them in a moment, even though He could. And when that offer of grace and peace is gone, this world is in for a world hurt. That's why we should be able to speak to every man the utterance that is needed. We should be happy and thankful for the offer of grace and peace, that we're not being consumed by fire and swallowed up by the earth, or hit with a plague and 14,700 in a moment are gone. That is God's judgment. That is God's jealousy. And that is His righteousness to do that. It also is His righteousness to offer grace and peace through Christ. God is still offering grace and peace to all through Jesus Christ. That is all I have. Does anybody have... let's close in prayer. Norm, would you please do that?